December 21, 1937. How the kingdom of the divine will on earth has been decreed in the consistory of the adorable Trinity. The new breath of God by which the creature will be restored. My poor mind was occupied by the great wonders and prodigies that the divine volition can do when it reigns in the creature. And I was thinking to myself, what a happy destiny to live in it. There cannot be a greater fortune, either in heaven or on earth. But how can it ever come to reign on earth if evils and sins abound so much as to be horrifying? Only a divine power, with one of its greatest prodigies, could do it. Otherwise the kingdom of the divine will be in heaven, but not on earth. As I was thinking this, my sweet Jesus, my sweet life visiting my poor soul, with unspeakable goodness told me, my good daughter, it has been decreed in the consistory of the Most Holy Trinity that my divine will have its kingdom on earth. As many prodigies as this will take, so many we will do. We will not hold back anything in order to have what we want. But in operating we always use the most simple, though powerful ways, to overwhelm heaven and earth, and all the creatures in the act we want. You must know that in the creation it took nothing other than our omnipotent breath to infuse life into man. But how many prodigies in that breath? We created the soul, providing it with the three powers, true image of our adorable Trinity. With the soul, he had the heartbeat, the breathing, the circulation of the blood, the motion, the warmth, the speech, the sight. What did it take to make all these prodigies in man? The simplest of our acts, armed with our power, our breath, and the running of our love which, unable to contain it any longer, ran toward him, even to the point of making of him the greatest prodigy of the entire work of creation. Now, my daughter, since man did not live in our divine will, his three powers have been obscured, and our adorable image remained deformed in him, in such a way that he has lost the first heartbeat of God's love within his heartbeat, and the divine breathing within his human breathing. Or better, he hasn't really lost it, he just does not feel it. He doesn't feel the circulation of the divine life, the motion of good, the heat of the supreme love, the word of God in his own, the sight to be able to look at his creator. All has remained obscured, weakened, maybe even deformed. What does it take to restore this man? We will return again to breathe on him with stronger and growing love. We will breathe in the depth of his soul. We will blow more strongly into the center of his rebellious will, but so strongly as to shake the evils by which he is trapped. His passions will remain floored and terrified before the power of our breath. They will feel burning by our divine fire. The human will feel the palpitating life of its creator, and it will hide him like a veil, so that man will return to be the bearer of his creator. Oh, how happy he will feel! We will restore him and heal him with our breath. We will be like a most tender mother who has a crippled child, and by breathing, whispering and blowing, she pours herself on her child. Only then she will stop blowing on him when she will have healed him and made him beautiful, like she wanted him to be. The power of our breath will not leave him. We will stop breathing on him only when we see him coming back into our paternal arms. We want him beautiful, like us. Only then will we feel that our child has recognized our paternal goodness, and how much we love him. See then, what it takes to make our will come and reign upon earth, the power of our omnipotent breath. With it we will renew our life within him. All the truths I manifested to you, the great prodigies of living in my will be the most beautiful and the greatest properties that I will give to him as a gift. This too is a certain sign that its reign will come upon earth, because if I speak first, I make facts, and then I speak. My word is the confirmation of this gift of the prodigies I want to do. Why would I expose my divine properties and make them known, if its kingdom didn't have to come upon earth? Now I will continue on the same topic of the date December 18th, about how our acts done in the divine will turn into life. I was thinking to myself, In the divine order, what will become of the many good works that did not come out from the divine volition, and so cannot be life, the seed of its life being missing? My sweet Jesus, always kind, said, "My daughter, it's no surprise that each act of the creature, even a little I love you done in my will and possessing by nature its creative life, is matured in the center of its divine life, and naturally reacquires life. All that is done in my will is regenerated in our eternal love, and acquires the long generation of many divine lives that are exclusively ours. Now, good works not done in our will can be like many beautiful ornaments within our creative works. Some may be more beautiful than others, but never life. Even in the order of creation there are lives and there are ornaments. Flowers are not lives, but they still form a beautiful ornament to the earth, though not a permanent one. Fruits are not lives, but they serve to feed man, and to make him taste many various sweetnesses, though they are not durable, and man can't always taste them anytime he wants. If fruits and flowers were lives, man could enjoy them anytime he wanted. The sun, the sky, the stars, the wind and the sea are not lives, but, being our works, how much good do they not do? They serve as the most beautiful and primary residence for man. What are their houses compared to the great residence we made of all the universe? There's a blue vault dotted with gold, that never fades. There is a sun that is never extinguished. There is air that, being breathed, gives life. There is a wind that purifies and refreshes. And many more things. It was necessary for our love to make a mix of works and lives, because they had to serve to delight man, and they had to serve for decorum, decency and residence of the one we created with so much love. So, since we had made more than sufficient works, he was to enjoy our works and to live in our divine will, in order to form many lives of love and glory for the one who loved him so much. But the difference between works and life is great. Life does not perish, while works are subject to many changes. And if they are not right and holy, instead of forming our ornament, they form our dishonor, and their own confusion may be even their condemnation. Fiat.